Right, guys, before we introduce our guest today, which we're very excited about, we're going to have to give Lucy's Little Bakehouse a big shout out, unexpectedly giving us some lovely free mugs and some sweet treats as well. We'll let you take one of these, Jimmy, but you can't have it till after your fight.
Oh, that's it.
Till after the weigh-in.
Talk to me.
Till after the weigh-in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
So, yeah, thank you for joining us, mate. Jimmy, the fist first. Welcome, my friend. How are you doing?
All good, thank you, and pleasure to be here. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All good. Mate.
Yeah. Cheers, mate.
We've caught you at a good time, haven't we? Because, well, tell us what's happening on Saturday, first of all.
Very good. I've got a title defence, the central area title in Bradford this Saturday, March the 11th, against another unbeaten opponent.
Right.
He's coming from Doncaster. He's 9-0, I'm 14-0. Right. It's another Yorkshire derby.
Right.
So I'm ready for it.
Halifax Power, mate, we're all backing you.
That's the one,
so
mate.
This is just a little pre-warm-up for you, mate. We'll get you in the right mindset.
We were just saying off camera, weren't we? The timing of this is really unusual.
It is.
I'm going back in. I've had 10 years out. I had one bout 10 years ago. Going back, going again. And it's all falling on the same night that you're doing yours. So, yeah, it's quite a strange one, isn't it?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't have to do as much hard work as you in terms of how many rounds and the weight cut. We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah.
But there's so many psychological impacts in boxing, and you do forget. I certainly forgot. It's such a psychological game. I've been a sportsman all my life, and I know the impacts of your psychology, but I've never experienced in anything other like boxing or combat. In your words, can you tell us what does it take to, number one, get in the ring, number two, to be a champion?
Well, it's I think you've just touched on it there, Dan. It is, I'd say 90%, 80-90% mentally, psychologically demanding boxing or any, like you say, any competitive combat sport where there's two of you walking in the boxing ring. So it takes a lot of hard work, dedication, discipline, perseverance. You've got to love the craft of sport, and you just have to keep plugging away. You have to get up on those cold, frosty, horrible, snowy mornings and get out and run. Take yourself to the gym after work when you just want to sit on the sofa and fall asleep, or watch crap on the TV. You just got to get to the boxing gym. So that's the hard, I'd say that I say this to youngsters that I know that I train that are in the boxing gym, the hardest part is getting to the gym in the first place. You make a million excuses why not to go, but just get there. You might have, a good training session. You might feel crap, but so it's when you feel most tired, you can sometimes have your best spars, you can have your best training sessions, and you dig it out of your depths of your soul. That's what it is, and that's what becoming a champion is as well. Just, I think, just not giving in and just believing in yourself as well. Because everyone has those little doubts. Everyone has, no one has the perfect camp. Everyone has those bad spars, those bad days in the gym where you doubt yourself and you think, is this really for me? But, you just got to keep plugging away, and that's what defies a champion in my eyes.
The first time that I did this, I did a quite an intense camp. Like I went all in. I went from nothing, no experience, to doing a proper camp. And I went in and I had a fight with a lad who'd had 7 fights previous. So I understood how much of a psychological impact it were having on me, especially when I got my ass handed to me in the gym.
Yeah.
My trainer told the lad who I was sparring, he said, put it on him. I want to see if he's got what he takes.
Yeah.
And I got beat up. And I left the gym that day and I was thinking, I don't know about this.
I'm going to say,
When you feel that first punch in the nose. Yeah.
And I kept it to myself.
Yeah.
But, you're just, relaying that it's normal. These are all normal feelings as humans we get. We all get self-doubt. It's okay. Yeah. It's like, what do you do with it then?
Yeah.
Just get back in the saddle, don't you? Go again.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's like, you're conditioning not just your body, you're conditioning your mind, you're conditioning your face. Sounds bizarre, but I was coming home with black eyes left, right and centre when I first started. Did exactly what you said. got in there, got chucked in at the deep end. I was sparring lads that were a bit bigger than me. I was sparring, you know, way more experienced lads, you know, and it's, you either get caught, you either got hit, and you think, sod this, this isn't for me, I'll go back to playing a bit of golf or a bit of tennis, something a bit less, less brutal. Or you think, right, I want to improve this. I want to be able to dodge that one and land one back and get my own back on them. So it's either make or break, pretty much from the off is boxing.
Absolutely.
Where loving the sport comes in, though? Because if you didn't love it at that point, you could quite easily give up, couldn't you? You know, after taking that first bashing nose.
Yeah.
Do you think you have to love the sport before?
Well,
you
know? Not necessarily, because I wasn't like a huge devout boxing fan. I wasn't like massively... I'd watch all the big fights, you know, Hatton Mayweather, I'd watch your Tyson Brunos when I were a kid and stuff. But my dad got me into everything but boxing. I did a bit of tennis, did a bit of cricket, played a bit of footy, rugby. I did a bit of rugby as well.
Yeah.
Everything but boxing. And my mate Nicky Betteridge, when I was just in, I was doing an office job.
Yeah.
And there were Halifax Boxing Club around the corner.
Big up to Halifax Boxing Club.
Yeah,
I'm a member there.
Big
as well.
Up, yeah, Mick Rowe, Paz, all the gang down there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's where I started my career out. Really good guys.
Yeah.
And I just went round to shut my friend up. Actually, pestering me to go. Yeah. To go. So I don't think you have to be in love with boxing to fall into it. It's just, I suppose it's just how your journey.
Yeah.
Things happen in life, don't they?
Lead you into
it's just a weird one. I fell into it basically.
And you fell into it
accidentally.
And you fell into it at a later stage in life, didn't you? So when did you first turn pro? When you were 36.
Yep. Walked into Halifax Boxing Club when I was 27. Had my first amateur when I was 29. My first amateur contest at Halifax Boxing Club.
Yeah.
And then I had 26 contests there. Mm. Became Yorkshire champion, national semi-finalist, regional champion. And then turned pro at the delicate age of 36.
That's amazing. It's so rare, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
While we're on that, Jimmy, right, I want to ask you, if there's someone listening now, watching now, where they're thinking, they're telling that, you know, story in their own head saying, oh, I'm too old to do that. I won't be able to do it. I'm too old. What words do you have for them, Paul?
You're not. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
Anything's possible in life. Yeah. You put your mind to it. You know, there's a lot of boxing gyms around that sort of, I always mention me because I had a lad that I think he was 21 and says, oh, I'm too old, or even a 17-year-old. Said, oh, I'm starting a bit too late. I went, you are? I said, how old are you? I said, you're having a blooming laugh. Anything's possible, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, blooming it, you walk into a boxing gym when you're like, you know, 22 and or 25, whatever age, it don't really matter. You know, if you want to do something, you put your mind to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like most boxers, they start when they're young.
Yeah.
They then, at the youths, they might get to 16, 17, box for 4 or 5 years, add 20, 30 contests as an amateur, and then get introduced to going out and tend to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
Or then maybe come back to it a little bit later on, think, oh, should have done, you know. So... you know, you walk in at 22, you can have, 20 amateurs by the time you're 25, 26, and then you're still young. You can be retired when you're 35 and done something in the professional, you know, sport, professional rankings.
Mm.
Have you had a lot of naysayers on this journey, given the fact that you were 36 when you turned pro?
Yeah.
Oldest champion, is that right in saying that?
I think I'm the oldest
in Britain, is it?
Undefeated champion in Britain, yeah.
I mean, come on, mate.
One of the oldest prospects in the world.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, that's inspiring, mate. It's so inspiring, man. It's just, especially because you're from our hometown as well, which makes it even more special.
Appreciate it, mate, yeah. Thank you, yes.
And have you had that throughout turning pro to where you are now, people writing you off and saying, you know... He's past it. He can't do it.
People underestimate me, but people that have been in the ring with me will tell you differently. But yeah, you'd get those. Not so much to my face. I've had, you know, even family, friends are like, "Are you sure? You know, you sure what you're doing?" Blah blah blah. And it's like, but you don't understand. Yeah, it's a very addictive sport when you get into it, and you just want to better yourself, really. Yeah. But anyone can do it. I'm not special, you know. It's just blooming boxing. It's just a sport that I happen to fall into, and then developed and wanted to improve on as much as I possibly could.
Yeah. You talk about, you mentioned earlier about the importance of it, the mentality. You said it's a massive part of it. I'm just curious to think, if you'd have fallen into boxing at a younger age, do you think you'd have maybe had a similar journey? Or do you put it down to having a really strong mentality as you've got older, to the fact that you can go that extra
mile? Quite possibly. Yeah. You know, I've done my part, had my party days.
Yeah.
And then...
We all have, yeah.
You know... And then got into box, you know, I might have started young and then, like I said, you know, fallen by the wayside. The story might not have been as, as catching as it is. So, it is where it is. Who knows what might have happened if I'd have started earlier. There could have been possibilities of going, right to the top.
Yeah.
But right now, I've got my sights on, become an area champion. I'm not taking my eyes or looking past my next opponent, Josh Padley, because he's a very good boxer and I've got a very hard fight this Saturday.
Yeah.
I want a British title.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be like a world title to me.
Yeah, yeah.
British title. Yeah. The beautiful Lord Lonsdale belt, that'd be but it's a hard level. Central area title is a good level.
Mm.
And then there's levels and layers upon layers in boxing.
Yeah. Well, let's put it out to the universe, mate. Once you win that belt, we'll get you back in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good man.
Amazing.
Should have brought some pads, shouldn't we?
I'll say that to you, boys.
Yeah.
What is the biggest obstacle that you've had to overcome in boxing? So it could have been a moment where you've been tagged or you've been hurt and you may have had to get up from the canvas or... something's happened and you've had to overcome that moment. Can you think of one that that you can touch on?
I think it's just every time you're walking out in front of that crowd, and it's experience. But when you first go out there, and that anxiety, the excitement, the nerves, and being in that moment. I've had a few, Justin Newell caught me with a good jab. I didn't say anything, but I was ill the night before, or that week I wasn't well. My sinuses were all blocked up and everything, and managed to pull something out of myself, and to bring myself through it. So I think it's mindset. And the biggest obstacle is your mind. We'll go back to that, We all have these little doubts creeping in our minds, and before you go out there, and it's just telling yourself that you can do this, And I think that is your mindset is your biggest obstacle, I think, in
just,
boxing.
Just asking for a friend.
Yeah.
Does the fight start to consume you in fight week? So the training's done, you're tapering off.
Mm.
You're now obviously focusing on just cutting weight and getting on the scales.
Yeah.
But the work's done, the sparring's done, the pad sessions, the grueling training sessions.
Yeah.
Do you start to think a lot more about the bout at that point? Or is it just
I think it's kind of like the night before, because I've been thinking, I'm training for this, for your opponent, in your sparring and in your training and when you're running. So I think really... you start thinking about the actual bout. Yeah, it's more like the day before, the night before, and when you actually get weighed in and you look at your opponent, and that's when it all gets real.
Mm.
And on the day of the fight, that's when it all really starts to. So other than that, right now I keep quite calm, try not to let any nervous energy eat me up.
Yeah. What's some of your coping mechanisms then? Building up to the fight, and then on the day of the fight, how do you gain control of that calm energy?
Just saying, look, you've done this you know, this is my 42nd contest for amateur and pro. You know, you've done this before. Mm. You think you might, okay, you know, you're not getting in there with King Kong. You're getting there with another guy who's got two arms, two legs. Yeah. You've done this before. The night before, just watch a movie, something nice and soft, you know, like
Rocky.
Castaway, so yeah. not like Saving Private Ryan, all the shooting and something nice and chilled.
Yeah.
You know. Forrest Gump, Castaway, that type of thing, you know what I mean? Yeah, just nice and chilled.
Yeah.
So just try to remain relaxed, you know. Mm. And knowing that you've done this a lot before and you've been there, you've done it, you've put everything into it, and you can't change what is gonna happen. And it's just a moment in time. And next week, it'll all be done. There'll be a winner, there'll be a loser. But, you know, it is what it is. It's we get on with life, don't we? There's more to life than boxing. So just try and, you know, focus, get the job done.
Yeah, it's having that relaxed mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And trying to be playful with it, you know, and remembering why you started it in the first place, you know, not to let these things consume you, but they easily can. I mean, even what I'm doing now, I'm thinking about it more. I'm not going to lie, you know, it's getting to that point where when I lay my head down at night, I'm starting to go over stuff.
That's
thinking about sleeping and moving and throwing that counter punch if I can. And, and obviously I'm thinking, Dan, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you're 5 days out, like, chill out.
No, we all do that. We all look at, you know, and, you know, you look at your opponent, you think, oh, he's got all these really good qualities and blah, 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 and you can overthink it, and you can... I do a lot of mind training with one of my trainers, Mark Hurley from Dickies, and he's very, you know, psychological. Mm. And, you know, all the worrying is not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to change what is going to happen in that ring. You know, everyone's proud of you, whatever. There's a winner and there's a loser. They ain't got the balls, the guts to get in there and do it, but, you know, that's up to them. They don't want to do that, you know. But they appreciate and, you know, have the admiration and appreciation for what you're doing. Win, lose, draw. Takes a lot of guts to get in that boxing ring.
It absolutely does. It really does, respect to you, honestly.
And you. Anyone that gets in there, at whatever level, it's, you know, you look deep into your soul when you're in there and it's just you and that other person and they want to take your head off and it's like, right, try to be calm.
Not let the noise affect you.
It's time. Now I'm getting excited. Now I'm getting nervous.
I want to touch upon nutrition. So, you know, obviously, things will be changing for you now. Just seeing that you've had to go for another monster wee before we started. So, where are you at with all that sort of thing? With your nutrition, what changes are you having to make? How much more weight do you have to cut now at this stage? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are you going to get in the ring at, hopefully?
Yeah. So, I don't have the luxury of a nutritionist. I've got some brilliant sponsors, but I can't afford like a full-time nutritionist. So if there's anyone out there who wants, any nutritionists who want to come on board, get on my top, then always, you know, I'm doing this myself. But it's worked up to the level and the stage that I'm at now. A lot of fighters use the water cup. I just kind of like have a bit of a balance between dropping the food down a little bit, up in the water, squeezing the last few pounds out in the bath, but without being overly dehydrated, you know. So, yeah, it's the British boxing. First and foremost, I don't blow up like
outside of the.
I don't blow up crazy amounts, so I only walk around.
It's common, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. So I'll only be maximum 3/4 of a stone above my fight weight, really.
Right.
3/4 to a stone maximum. But then, you know, a couple of training sessions or whatever, I'll drop it down. I really only have to start. I always eat quite well anyway. I've got a bowel condition, ulcerative colitis, So if I start eating too much chocolate, too much crap, it sends my stomach into havoc. So, you know, it's a condition which isn't very nice. You haven't run to the toilet, and when you have like a bit of a flare-up, which I don't, thankfully, so it's all under control.
It's controlling your nutrition.
But when I'm running, you know, I don't mind sharing this with everyone. You know, I've always got some toilet roll on me because I might have to jump over a bumming wall into a bumming country lane. You know, it's in country fit into a field. So
I had to do it last week, mate.
Not nice. Yeah.
I haven't got a bowel condition, but I had to do it last week.
Yeah.
I'll put it out there.
Yeah.
Pair of boxers gone. Yeah. Sorry about that. Whoever's, you know, someone's watching and.
the thing is, everyone, there'll be a lot of people out there that struggle with this, and it's not good, but thankfully, so that's why I'm always eating well. The boxing board know all about it. You have to declare everything, and you know, boxing keeps me
focused
on that. So I'm eating well all the time, so don't blow up crazy amounts. So really I've only had to properly pinch down in the last week. So the British Boxing Board, one of the safest governing bodies in boxing, and they give you British Boxing, one of the safest. We have a check weight 2 weeks out, so they make sure you're not 3 stone above your blooming, what you're going to be in 2.5 weeks or 2 stone, you know, the one needs to be sensible, and then they'll check weight you again, I think it's a week, so it might be 2.5, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a week out, and then 3 days, so I've just had my final check weight, which was yesterday, and I'm fighting at my fight weight, championship weight, it's 9 stone 9, 135 pounds, the lightweight limit, and I had to be 9 stone 13 yesterday as a check weight. Yeah. So the board do that, so you're not dropping weight dangerously. Just eat well, bring my carbs down a little bit, keep my proteins and fats right, but mix it between water and bring my food control down a little bit. Portion control.
Yeah.
Portion control. Anyone that asks me about dropping weight, it's portion control. You know, bring it down a little bit, little and often.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
It is, isn't
Amen
it?
To
it
that.
Is, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give us a day in the life of leading up to the fight, nutrition wise. What would you be eating? And at what times?
I'm still having bits of carbs because I've been driving around dropping a few tickets off. I don't have the luxury of being signed by one of the the Sky Sports or one of the big promotion companies
yet.
Even though I'd be a really good prospect on Sky Sports back in December. So you're still burning calories when you're out and about driving and seeing people, you know, walking about a little bit. So to answer your question, I had a bowl of porridge this morning, brought it down, not as much as I'd usually have, so half a bowl, some blueberries.
Nice.
I had a nice bit of tomato soup, tomato and fennel soup.
Lovely.
From a local cafe near me. And then I might even have some sushi.
Good choice.
Might have some sushi, there's a bit of everything in there. Mm-hmm. And then tonight, I'll just have a tuna steak and some broccoli and maybe some carrots. Cut out, maybe a little bit of sweet potato. So I'm still putting food in me.
Yes.
Not, I don't think it's good to completely stop your food, rely just on water, because then when you do go to, you're just full really fast. So, you know, I've eaten a little bit on the morning of a weighing before, you know, just to keep your metabolism.
There must be a fine line between it, you know, being unhealthy and healthy. Yeah,
yeah, that's so. It. But on the saying that, you know, with a nutritionist, I could probably be... Who knows? Yeah. I might be doing it all wrong. And you know, they might, you know, and I might be twice, I could be maybe twice the size, but I'm stopping people. I've got power and I believe in my ability and what I'm doing has been working.
Your record suggests that we're all good.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah. No, respect to that. I want to touch on something a little bit different, just something going a little bit off. The recent shenanigans with the YouTube sensations and boxing and whatnot and the hype and everything else. What are your thoughts from somebody who's really committed to the craft, put years in of work and really, you know, understanding boxing on a different level, and then you know, some people just lace a pair of gloves up, have a bit of a profile on social media and start making decent money.
Yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts about it all?
I think, like most people within boxing, you know what I mean? I'd have said 90% of boxers are, you know, they don't get the money and the recognition that they deserve. And that's why a lot of boxers pack it, give it in, give it up, because some can't do ticket sales. You have to rely on, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. Boxing is a business. But to answer your question, with the YouTube, you know, the Jake Paul and the Tommy Fury recently that you're referring to.
Yeah.
It's a bit unfair, you know, a YouTuber, because he's, you know, got 25 million followers, you know, jumps into boxing and then earning tens of millions. But at the end of the day as well, fair play to him, because he's done it, you know. And
it is one of those.
And I know, you know, Tommy Fury, I've been over to the Fury camp, and you can't blame Tommy, and I'm glad he beat him. And it, on the flip side of it all, it's bringing fans into boxing that weren't probably into boxing, you know, themselves. So maybe it's bringing a bit of goodness into the sport in some ways. But what was his, Logan Paul's brother, when he started shouting halfway through the fight, and don't make it all like your WWE wrestling style thing. It's getting a bit flipping, you know, comedy show. You don't want it too American, don't want it too wrestling-ified comedy show, you know. But they made some money, and, you know, yeah, it is what it is, isn't it?
It's,
you know, I don't want to diss it too much, but yeah, it's not, you know, guys like me, you know, might only make, you know, a couple of thousand a fight compared to, you know, and I know that maybe I should, you know, bullshit sells though, don't it? Bullshit sells, and maybe I need to call Jake Paul out and say, listen, I'm calling you out now, Jake Paul.
Call him out.
I'm four weight divisions below you, Jake Paul. Yeah, this is my call out to you. Let's bring it on. I'll still knock you out. Yeah, let's have it.
I'm wearing his corner as well. Not bad.
And I'll take it for 5 mil. Come on, lad. Yeah.
That's what it takes, though, yeah. Do you know?
Put your balls where your mouth is. Do you know what I'm saying?
It really is that. No, but it was interesting because I heard Tony Bellew recently talk about he didn't become a millionaire until he fought David A. And he were already a WBO champion.
Yeah, yeah.
World champion.
Mm.
You know, selling arenas out. And you would assume at that level that you would be financially totally secure at that point.
Yeah,
and he wasn't, which was sort of... open my eyes a little bit,
fair,
you know,
so.
And then obviously this stuff like this is happening, mm-hmm. and it's like, wow, they're set for life off this sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Jake Paul, what are you saying? Come on,
come on, Jake, come on, we're ready, we're here, ready. 4 weight, 5 weight divisions below you, come on,
yeah,
let's bring it,
yeah. Well,
bring it to Peace Hall, Halifax,
great shout,
be a great venue, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we saw you, Jimmy, on Sky Sports recently, like I say, in December. I believe you only had 1 week's notice leading up to this fight.
10 days.
10 days notice.
Yeah.
Massive underdog. What's going through your mind at that stage, mate? When you get the call, what are you thinking? And how did you prepare for that one?
Well, my trainer manager, I walked into the gym. Well, first of all, I didn't have too much time off anyway. You know, I might have a pizza and a couple of beers, but nothing major, nothing crazy. So I'm always... and I know that now, I'm always fit and ready. But I walked in and said, she had an offer for a fight, Corey Gibbs, 17th of December, I think it was, something. And I went, that's next week. He went, I know it is.
Season.
Yeah, that's next Saturday. He went, I know it is. So I had a look at him. Didn't make a decision straight away. Spoke to my other trainer, Mark, earlier. We had discussions, looked at him. Identified weaknesses, everyone's got them. Can exploit them. He wasn't the most active of fighters, but a very, very skillful one. And it was an opportunity to grab with both hands, and that's what we did, yeah. Mm. And the whole week, I just had the confidence with just something. We knew we were going to go and beat him. Mm. And we did.
And you did.
A lot to be said for that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's the belief.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And even
definitely.
Even on a minor level when I'm coaching my clients, and when they're approaching the bar, let's say they're doing an Olympic lift or a deadlift and they're trying a number that they're not going to get before, and I'm like, I can tell you're not going to do it. Do you believe you're going to do that? And they're like, no. I'm like, why are you addressing the bar?
Oh, yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
Go and have a word with yourself over there. Yeah. When you're ready to go. Believe that yourself first.
That's it.
And that's when it happens.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That's exactly, like you know, like you just said then, you just know, don't you?
Of course
you know it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's it. There was something we just knew.
Have you got that same feeling for Saturday as well, Matt?
I have, yeah. You know, you've won the fight before you go in there. I know it's going to be tough. I know it's quite tricky. Mm. It's not been past six. But I won't say too much, but I'm just, when you're in there with me, it's a different kettle of fish, and you can't really train for my style. Mm. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do, never mind what they know what I'm going to do, so, you know.
Is it instinct?
Unorthodox. Yeah, I think experience.
Experience
will get me through and win this fight, you know. But he's going to be sharp, very sharp. And I'm expecting a really tough fight. It's a 50-50 on paper. And so, you know, it is what it is. May the best man win. But, yeah,
absolutely,
it'll be me, hands still. Yes. Ready. Yeah.
That's it, mate.
Yeah.
So on. Where can we watch that fight? Can we watch it anywhere?
I don't know if it's televised or YouTube or anything like that. It's just Bradford Hotel, so...
Right. Can we still get tickets at this stage?
Well, we're on Wednesday today. Fight's Saturday. Tickets go back Friday morning, so...
Right.
That's when I'm making the weight. So, really, today or tomorrow, I don't mind, seeing a few people locally.
Right.
But you need to get at me fast, yeah.
This episode will go out after the fight, but...
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll already won by then.
Yeah. Well, the next one.
Next one.
Yeah. The next one.
Do you think that far ahead? What is next for you?
I think you always, I've got my aspirations, the British, but I'm fully focused on Josh Padley this Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that only right now. Yeah.
Laser focus.
Getting this win because it's a big banana skin. Yeah, just fully focused on this Saturday.
Do you anticipate a cut-off point, or are you literally taking it fight by fight, week by week, how you feel in yourself? Or do you think, I want to be looking at retirement by this sort of age, or are you just going to keep flowing?
You've already broke the boundaries, right?
Yeah, a weird one, because when I turned 36, it was just like, I didn't have any major goals. It was just do it, because... So I don't have any regrets in life, because I was toying with the idea for a couple of years, to be honest with you. Months and years. Do I don't? Oh, you're too old. Don't be silly. You're blooming way too old. Then again, you're beating lads that are blooming 25. You know, you're still flipping, smashing these lads that are flipping 22, 24 in gym, It's like, nah, get it done. So, at that point, I thought, I won't be boxing after 40. But now I'm 42 on the 14th of March, so a few days after my fight. So to answer your question, I'll just keep going. I think I'll know, my body will tell me when it's time, but I'm still improving. I'm still defying the odds, still beating the youth, beating lads that are 15 years my junior. So, maybe 45. I get to 45,
Bernard,
and I might say 50 then.
Wasn't
he? Yeah, he was.
That was defense, 50.
Yeah, heavier weight though, lightweight.
It's
quite high. Was it middle? Yeah. Middle. Hopkins. I think a few different divisions actually. He won at a few weights, did Hopkins. I think he went up to, did he go up to heavyweight and won? I think he won at heavyweight.
Did he?
I think. Might have been light heavy, not sure, but he won.
It's harder
he won
for
a
weight,
few divisions.
It's harder for the weight cuts though, isn't it?
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so that's another thing at my age.
Do you anticipate
weight, you
going
it,
up in weight
feel it.
To the next division?
Probably not, because I could probably even make Super Feather, but I don't know how much it'd take on my body. And
Super Feather's about 9'4", isn't it?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, so it's a bit more. I could probably make it, because I'm fairly small, lightweight, but it's how much strength and power would I lose, so doing all right at lightweight, stay where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, for now.
So, I'm interested, Jimmy. What what words would you have for a younger version of yourself or a young boxer that's got high aspirations? Let's take it back to a younger version of yourself. What words would you have for yourself?
As a boxer.
As a human being.
I think just be true to yourself, be honest, be kind. Pursue your dreams and just keep, you know, just take one day at a time. Everyone has ups, everyone has downs, but, you know, you just got to try and remain positive, because there's a lot of negativity in the world. Mm. Surround yourself with the right people. Mm. There's a lot of mental health issues at the minute, and, you know, suicides. I've known friends, you know, and associate yourselves. Oh, it's very sad. Associate yourselves with the right people, and there's always help out there, you know, you can always speak to people and but yeah, just try and remain positive, as positive as you can, really, I think. And
brilliant, man. Anything else, Dan?
No, I think we're good. Where do we find you, Jimmy?
Where do we find you?
Instagram, Jimmy the Fist 1981. Facebook, James First. I've got Twitter, James First 3. I don't use it that much. That's it. And Good Karma Coffee House and Mammal down in Brig House. I mean, they're having a coffee quite often.
Yes, lad. We'll see you down there.
Yeah.
I frequent there myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's been amazing to chat with you, mate.
Yeah, and you
Thank
guys.
Thank you for your time.
Proper pleasure having me, having us here.
Buzzing you come down, mate. And
yeah.
Like I say, we're Likewise. Proper behind you, man.
Cheers, boys. So. Cheers.
And we don't need Thank to say you. Good luck.
Yeah, no, it's appreciate happening. It. Thank you to everyone for the support as well. You know, it's. Very humbling, you know, to my sponsors who have looked after me, Pure Travel Around Corner, Good Karma Coffee House, Trident Distributions, MG Locksmiths, KE Stonemasons, Yorkshire Payments. There's been, you know, these people have stuck by me through lockdown as well. So, you know, thank you to you all, and long may the fist journey continue. Yeah.
Come on, big man.
Yeah,
and any nutritionists Thank out you. There want to get on board?
Yeah, that's it.
Get on with it.
Fatten me up. Make me more powerful. Yeah, thanks for having us, guys. It's been lovely.
Thank you, mate.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
See you soon, Paul.
Cheers, gents.
Thanks for listening to another inspiring self-made story. And we hope you enjoyed the show. We would be very grateful if you could kindly leave us a review, as it will help us impact a wider audience. You can do this on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. If you want to reach out on the socials, find us across all platforms using @theselfmademindspodcast. See you next time, and happy success making.